Ben White at night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Kerfoot into the corner for Tavares. Tavares around back to the net for Nylander. To Kerfoot coming out in front. That was stepped as the rebound. Scores! Sandin coming in off the left point. And the scramble was on, and Sandin slams it home, and the Maple Leafs have got themselves a 3-1 lead.
We like it. We love it. We want some more of it. The Leafs smother the Predators 5-2, returning from the bye week slash all-star break in style. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Shout out to Sam McKee and Vic Palladian for their hard help and hard work behind the scenes. Gord, we're back from the hiatus here. How much maturity did you see from this Leafs squad tonight?
A lot of maturity. I think they went, got some phony ID or something on the week off to, I think Sheldon Keefe mentioned, I thought it was a very good term to use for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Basically, the youth is their strength, and we've seen it being served many times this season, but when it turned into a lack of maturity in the way they played that last game against Chicago, he kind of issued them a challenge. And I was very curious to see how they'd come out tonight. I was curious, Nick, to see all the teams because they've been off for 8 or 9 days. That's a long time. You know, most NHL players.
A lot of beers, too.
Well, I don't know what they did, beer, or what they do. Guys are pretty responsible in season. They weren't down wherever you were, Nick.
So, yes, they were. So, I know they were.
So the point being is they've been off a long time. And most will say that 2 days is about all they can do to go without skating. So there was an element of the beach party continued in period number one. But then the Toronto Maple Leafs, they really, till the end, last, 5 or 6 minutes, give Nashville credit, they came back hard, but the Leafs had control of the game, and Freddie Anderson out-goaltended Pekka Rinne.
And he
did. At the end of the day, maybe that's all it's about. Two goaltenders that have been underwhelming of late in Rinne and Anderson, and big reasons why these two teams have been underwhelming of late. And Freddie brought it, and Pekka didn't.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we talked about in the pre-show there at the first intermission, was that Frederik Andersen has to win some games. And, I think the Maple Leafs weren't great in this game. They weren't bad either. They were certainly better than the Nashville Predators. But you need your goalie to make some big-time saves in the second period, namely a couple big-time stops by Frederik Andersen. But you got the sense, again, after the first goal, I really feel like Andersen bared down after surrendering, one of those goals he probably wants to have back there to start this one, but I think he really stepped up. They need more of this going down the stretch.
Well, the other thing, they score first, which is huge, but then they quickly give it back, and that could have been momentum Nashville. And instead, boy, and if you want to look at Kyle Turris' season, so the Leafs have a 4-1 lead. Kyle Turris is out and out robbed by Freddie Anderson on a power play. And then he takes a hooking penalty, so now it evens it up 4-on-4. So it couldn't be a worse, 20 seconds for him or less. And then he comes out of the penalty box, seems to have a breakaway, seems to have the Leaf player beat for what was going to be called an icing, and it got called an icing. So he couldn't, he's had a horrible season. He's on the fourth line for the Nashville Predators. Yeah, he's really rich on the fourth line, but he's part of the reason why this is a crushing loss for the Nashville Predators. They really have to get their act together. Home ice, and they're just talking about it tonight. This is a fun building. This has been a loud building.
Yeah.
They started as an expansion team for so many years, a real expansion team, not the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's win right away. And they always, it's a fun place to go, and they were just quiet tonight.
Yeah, I haven't heard that building that quiet in a long, long time. And certainly, along the similarities of this Maple Leafs team for the majority of the season, very underperforming, I would say. They signed Matt Duchesne. They traded PK Subban to the New Jersey Devils. It just hasn't been a great year, and the goaltending has been sort of questioned both guys, whether it be Rinne, who played in this one, or Yusar as the backup. Again, Frederik Andersen hasn't been great the last month and a half, but again, I thought he bared down this one. If you're just tuning in, the Maple Leafs, a 5-2 win after a really, really disappointing loss before the bye week slash all-star break against Chicago. They rallied back here, and, we talked about it to wrap up before we went on the hiatus there, Gord, that the Maple Leafs, that's a lot of time to dwell on a loss like that, and some pretty heavy comments from their head coach, but I think they stepped up in this one a bit.
And something? We're doing some scoreboard watching, and Tampa Bay tied it up in Dallas. Dallas had a 2-1 lead over Tampa Bay in the winning minutes. Now
Pavelski
it's 2-2.
Took a penalty.
So anyway, bit of what we do now with Tampa Bay and Florida, other teams in the Atlantic Division.
Stamkos again.
Figures. guy didn't come here, and now he, anyway, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be from here on in. That way, all you can do is go out and win your games. And you just mentioned the number of things that went right.
Yeah.
Rasmus Sandin, as you mentioned, his first career goal. He played nice. Like, you know, you're going to need him right now. With Morgan Riley out for a while, Jake Muzzin, who played 27 minutes in one American Hockey League game. So he certainly got some work during the off week for his buddies. So it was nice to see him back. And how about this one? Our buddy Steve Fellin. And I worked with the Leafs way back when, so I remember this. And it wasn't a team that went on to win the Stanley Cup or anything. But first time since they started the 1983-84 season, mm-hmm. all those years ago, that they've gone seven consecutive road games with at least four goals. And that's been the Sheldon Keefe style, right, about the offense. So this is the seventh consecutive road game, at least four goals, because it's puzzling because there's so much talk about Austin Matthews hasn't been scoring on the road. He did score, albeit an empty netter tonight. But anyway, it's a much-needed 2 points to kick off the post-All-Star break for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And Steve Fellin, as you know, does a tremendous job. We do pimp him a lot, and rightfully so, here in Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, Nick Alberg and Gord Stellick, bringing down a 5-2 win here for the Maple Leafs at Bridgestone Arena. The last teenage defenseman with 3 points in a game, if it happened, would have been Al Iafrady back in 86. But a two-point night for Rasmus Sandin. And the one thing I'll take away, you talked about birth certificates and IDs. Like, you watch the poise this kid plays with at that age, and not to mention this was game 10, so he'll get the first-year contract out of the way here and get some coin. But just the poise he plays with, I do like the approach the Maple Leafs have sort of taken when it comes to Rasmus Sandin. Granted, again, they might have expedited his process a bit more because of all the injury concerns in the back end, but I don't think they would have played him just out of necessity. I think he's really earned the spot so far the first couple games since returning from the American Hockey League. Would you agree, Gord?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought the preseason he played well.
Yeah.
And I thought he made the team on merit. Now, they didn't have really any injuries on the blue line back then. And then there was just that one game he took a hit against the Red Wings. I don't think it was just the hit that they just decided at that point.
Yeah.
At that point, he was starting to play fewer minutes. So they went down, played a ton. He got the World Junior experience. So he is back up here on merit. And, you know, you're sort of dissecting it. You don't have Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley has not been 100% for, I think, all season long. And Tyson Barrie, you know, just couldn't get going and then really got going and now has to kind of get going a bit more again. So this gives you another component. I liked his poise. I liked he was good at, you know, whether it's faking, moving, jiving, getting open, and not, you know, not taking the shot that hits the other guy's shin pad, you know, finding some seams and doing it that way. So I've been really impressed the way he played, and that'll be a big plus in Morgan Riley's absence if he's able to continue to play like this.
So again, the Maple Leafs 17-7-3 now under Sheldon Keefe, pretty substantial sample size. And again, as everything we've documented with, you know, a lot of teams, this team is chasing, gaining point after point. Out of the Florida Panthers, Tampa ties it up late in regulation again in Dallas, and we're scoreboard watching. Dallas, ironically enough, the next opponent for the Maple Leafs coming up on Wednesday night from American Airlines Center. So they got two big returns in this game, Gore. Jake Muzzin comes back. I thought he was steady. Same old Jake Muzzin, plays 27 minutes with the Marlies the other day in a conditioning stint. And Trevor Moore, who's missed 27 games with a couple different injuries this season, back in the lineup. Again, you know what you're going to get from Trevor Moore, but here we go again with the injury bug. You know, there's ominous reports out there that we could sort of get an update here in the coming moments when it comes to Kasperi Kapanen, but he leaves after the first period, does not return. So the carousel continues in terms of the injury bug for this team.
Yeah, say an arm injury for Kasperi Kapanen. And I mean, it's the old cliche about injuries being a part of the game. And
yeah,
the Maple Leafs ducked it for 2 years and probably were the least injured team in the National Hockey League for a couple of years, but last 2 years they've had their share. So it's nice to get guys back while you're losing guys. And the other thing, it's given a guy, Pierre Engvall, who had another great game.
Oh, he was brilliant.
He had another.
You think Matt Irwin's going to have nightmares about him? He blew by him twice.
He did like the Mario Lemieux statue play. And
you're right.
And we talked about it. I don't know what it is. He's got that great posture and seemingly a long neck that makes him look taller.
Yeah.
So when he gets the puck, he kind of looks
aerodynamic.
Harmless. Yeah, but he kind of looks harmless.
Yeah.
And then he blows by you. Like, he doesn't look like, you say, Mitch Marner, who you know is going to try to blow by you, has the speed, or anybody else. And he has really seized this opportunity.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say right there. Is you talk about guys who have really benefited from Sheldon Keefe taking over and somebody who's got confidence instilled in you. As soon as this kid came up from the American Hockey League, he has not wavered. His game has not changed whatsoever. I think he had the you know, good thing going for him, the fact that Sheldon Keefe knew everything about him, having coached him in the American Hockey League. And he's been sort of an addition just from the American Hockey League. It always helps when you can pick up pieces. And they thought this would have to be the game, considering some of the pay of these guys up front. But you could plug in a guy like Engvall, who's a very serviceable bottom six guy for this team, can play up the lineup in a second row, second line role as well, kills penalties. Like, this has been massive in terms of a development for this team up front, Gord.
Yeah, it has. And then, you know, to put in context, is quite often we always look what's gone wrong with the team. And let's look at the positives. Austin Matthews been Austin Matthews. Willie Nylander gets the first goal tonight, and he's really found his swagger.
12 and 15.
Zach Hyman is exactly what Mike Babcock said. Like, he has always been something special, but he's really adding. Like, he's at an incredible offensive pace. Jason Spezza, okay, the guy they added for this kind of role. Then when they get injuries, here's a guy that, you know, comes in, got another goal tonight, and just seems to have found his role that way. So there's been things that haven't gone right for the Maple Leafs. I mean, it's been an underwhelming season so far to a degree, but there are things that have gone right. And really, all of those were out in full force tonight.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating as well when you talk about Jason Spezza. Who knows how close it truly was, but there were murmurs when this team was getting healthy that his days could be limited. I remember us two talking about it, that, you know, this is could be his last game as a Maple Leaf, and things happen for a reason. Spets is still on this team, and he's producing on a nightly basis. Remember the days when he was getting healthy scratch routinely, you know? Saw him making coffee in the press box.
Yeah, he was like one of the most personal guys. Yeah. Actually, who was it that helped? Mike Lippa helped Ilya Mikheyev out there. He was making coffee, and he's got the big obviously, bandage on his arm that way. But, yeah, Jay, you don't run into all the players a lot, but Jason Spezza was one of the most pleasant, affable guys up there. So it's nice to see him finding the role he envisioned under Sheldon Keefe.
Envisioned as a kid as well, and being a Maple Leaf. A 5-2 win here for Toronto on the road. Great start to this unofficial second half of this season. Time of the essence, point of the essence for this team. We roll on here. Coming up, Chris Johnson from Bridgestone Arena, Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. We'll go inside the locker room. We'll also get you set for Wednesday night. Another big one, also in the Central Time Zone against the Dallas Stars. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. You can follow along on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation Post Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Post Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yossi. Back to the blue line, a shot blocked by Matthews. Empty net, looking at it. Matthews to center. Matthews to the blue line, scores! Good night, nurse!
Yep, the wrist looks all right to me, at least. Austin Matthews, the empty netter, number 35 on the year to propel the Maple Leafs to a 5-2 win here at Bridgestone Arena. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. First and foremost, what did you make of Austin Matthews' attire this past weekend in St. Louis? What would you rate it?
I don't know. He's, you know,
I think it was a little off.
Well, you're more in that realm as far as the younger people fashion wise go. I like his fashion sense. I think he's worked hard for a look. And to be honest with the All-Star game, I really had no interest in.
It's amazing.
It was here in 2000 and it was phenomenal. Right. It was phenomenal.
Not long ago, eh?
Yeah. Wow. But it's great when it's in your own city. And if you know, just the buzz and all that and the events that go on and what have you. But, yeah, I mean, so it was fun in St. Louis. In some ways, Austin Matthews showing up allowed him to play tonight, because if he didn't show up, he would have had to, like Alexander Ovechkin, miss a game. And you're not suspended, by the way. You get paid. So it's not technically a suspension. Whatever. So he showed up. And then by that, Brady Tkachuk was able to come. So the Tkachuk brothers were a great storyline being from St. Louis. So Austin Matthews not showing up in some ways created a storyline and also allowed him to play tonight. Just quickly looking about four shots on goal for Austin Matthews, 20 minutes, 25 seconds. They had a shift in the third period that was absurd. Like, there were long stretches. You got back to the Sheldon Keefe style a bit. Like, first there was uncharacteristic, the great stretch pass from Rasmus Sandin to Willie Nylander to breakaway, which gave the Leafs 1-0 lead. But then there were 4, 5, 6 minute segments that didn't have a whistle. And this was one of the fastest games it's been all season for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
A little different,
yeah.
But they'd lost in the previous six games, they weren't as easily getting that control type game that they had, you know, bought into initially with Sheldon Keefe. It seemed to be back tonight against Nashville.
Yeah, I thought they were, again, you know, to echo our sentiments for the entirety of this program, I thought the Maple Leafs bared down. This was an important game for a variety of reasons. You look at what Florida's been doing the last little while. No doubt it had a foul taste in their mouths following that game in Chicago. I like what I saw from this team. I think if you were to analyze a little more in-depthly what Sheldon Keefe is doing when it comes to timeouts, I like that too. Victor Arvidsson scores there in the third period to make it somewhat close, and right away he nips it in the butt. Did it really help out? Well, the Maple Leafs were teetering in the last 5-6 minutes, but that does happen when you're playing the prevent style like NHL teams do quite a bit. But certainly I saw a lot of good in this game, and you know there were reasons to be hesitant about this team going forward in the last couple games before the break, but they rallied in this one, Gordon.
No, they really did. They really did. They bent once or twice but didn't break, and they just had, I mean, I think Nashville got going at the end, but I think, man, they don't have, you know, Nashville Predators have as good a defense corps as any in the NHL. That alone should guarantee you're in the playoffs. If you have a deep defense corps, that's supposed to get you in the playoffs, but I think it starts with the goaltending, lacking confidence in it, but other things are just a little bit off. That really was that was an ugly-looking team for a big chunk till Arvidsson, you know, cut it to a two-goal deficit. It's very, very baffling in that. But with the Toronto Maple Leafs, you mentioned about Sheldon Keefe. Yeah, do what you do all the time. And that timeout's part of his DNA. You know, don't have a game where you don't use the timeout and regret that you didn't use it at some point. So that's something he does rather well.
It's calculated, isn't it?
It is calculated.
You know, a bit different than the previous regime, we'll say.
It is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is calculated. But also, you know, this is his first tough streak. Yeah, and Nick, this is such a great hockey city. I know some people talk, oh, geez, the pressure. But I've always mentioned the Gary Roberts of the world, the Joe Newendykes, the Curtis Josephs who came here later, local guys that came here later in their NHL careers, loved it. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And so when you start winning, then the love-in's absurd. Oh, these practices.
Vilified, yes.
There's two rinks going. There's music. There's 9 coaches out there. You know, they don't have morning skates, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden they start losing. And, you know, so you go, okay, well, look at what works or what doesn't work. I offered the opinion. I wonder, because you've had morning skates forever, and now they're being diminished, and I totally agree with it. I totally agree about reading the whole fatigue situation, particularly back-to-backs, particularly arduous stretches in the schedule. But in both those two clunkers against Florida and Chicago, the team wasn't tired, didn't have a day of game skate, and looked like they hadn't been focused at all. Maybe sometimes when you are properly rested that day of game skates, not a bad idea to get your head into the hockey day. Maybe.
And I think you're right. And I think bottom line, sometimes you need to just be ready to play. And this Maple Leafs team from the onset, they score the first goal. The red hot Willie Nylander, again, 12 goals in the last 15 games. Rasmus Sandin, a little alley-oop play to get the team going. You know, most teams do have the same sort of type of numbers to support it. But when you score first, odds are you have a better chance of winning the hockey game. Same goes to the Maple Leafs. They've won plenty of the games they scored first in, which was very rare at the beginning of this season. It's picked up certainly under Sheldon Keefe. It gets you going in the right direction. And I just saw a little bit more desperation. That's going to be a big buzzword I will use down the stretch here, is desperation. Because it's one thing to think you've earned that money and make that money for a reason. It's another thing to prove it. And that's what I really want to see down the stretch here. Is the big boys. Can they prove their worth to this organization, to this city, and will this team after righting some wrongs from earlier this season?
Well, Sheldon Keefe, right off the bat, when he took over first couple of games, just said they're going to have to battle to the end.
Yeah,
and they haven't had to the last couple of years. So that is a reality and also could be a positive. Let's see how they battle. It's a couple of years ago they got in the last weekend of the season against the Washington Capitals. It's going to be kind of like that once again. And it was actually a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins that got them in. And now the element of scoreboard watching, and you mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning get a point by virtue of their overtime loss. Well, if you're in a cartel for Leafs season's tickets, which when I say most people are, I don't mean most people are, but if you have tickets, you divvy them up.
Yeah.
You know, so if you were, and there's 41 home games, a Monday night game against the Florida Panthers might have gone last.
Yeah.
And yet that's a huge game. So they're in Dallas on Wednesday. We have that game on the Fan. They're home against Ottawa on Saturday. And a week tonight, we have it at Scotiabank Arena. It is a huge 4-point game against the Florida Panthers in what was probably viewed as the most nondescript game in the regular season. This is the reality. These are the 4-point battles against first and foremost the Florida Panthers, three of them left, and then to almost comparable degree the Tampa Bay Lightning. They have three of them left as well.
And not to look too far ahead to Pride, Gordon. They got their asses whipped at Sunrise a week ago, 2 weeks ago, right? Like, I'm looking forward to that game for a variety of reasons. Among them, I think the Maple Leafs, it's a statement game. And we do see that maybe a bit too much, and it's cliche to say it in pro sports. But that game next Monday, not to look too far ahead, is a statement game for this Maple Leafs team, considering, again, 2 weeks ago, they were destroyed in Sunrise.
Yeah, but it's funny. Last year, you looked, you know, so they had a successful regular season, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement games against the New York Islanders, they fell short.
Exactly.
So, and maybe that's why they didn't win Game 7. Again, we start over-analyzing, over-interpreting.
But a bit different because of the narrative with John Tavares. And to get up for that, it was pretty easy for the Islanders, in my opinion.
But this one is a statement game that just factually, this is their battle for the playoffs, those games against the Florida Panthers.
So and let's just put we'll it this see way. The statement. You're right. And every game at this point, folks, is so integral. You got Dallas coming up Wednesday. Certainly at this juncture in the season, you have lost some points you should have had earlier. You got to take care of teams like the Ottawa Senators. But that's going to be the issue down the stretch too, Gord. When you start playing these teams with nothing to lose, their seasons are finished, I mean, and nothing to lose, that's a tough opponent to play. How many times do we see teams in the last 30 games or so of an NHL season have nothing to play for, just pride, and beat teams and will teams out? So they better be wary of that as well.
Well, it can go one of two ways. It can be a disaster, or it can be, or you could just pound them. It seems like early on, if you get them early, they're done. But if they're going, because they want to pad their stats, and I've always called it garbage time. I think at a certain point, if you're one of these bad teams, your stats, your personal stats shouldn't even count anymore.
Playing for contracts.
Well, yeah, because it looks good at the end of the season. So say you get 25 goals, but great, you scored 8 of them in the first 60 games.
The old
games.
Arizona Coyotes when it doesn't matter.
Yes.
They're winning hockey
games. That kind
games.
Of thing. Yeah. That's a good comparable.
So the numbers here for Frederik Andersen, by the way, pretty astounding in his career against Nashville. That continues. 33 saves, 9-2-0-11 starts against Nashville in his career. The Maple Leafs, again, winning 5-2 here. In Nashville following the bye week and the All-Star break, so off on the right foot again in Dallas coming up on Wednesday night. For now, we're going to hear from a man who is 17-7-3 at the helm of this Maple Leafs team here, Sheldon Keefe.
What stands out for you, Sheldon, tonight in that first game after a long week off and getting back on track as to where you want this club going moving forward?
Well, I liked that through different periods of the game, I thought we did a really nice job of doing the things that we wanted to do. Had a pretty good sense going in. It wasn't going to look pretty all the time in a game like this. You're not really sure what you're going to get coming off that type of a break. But all in all, I thought that we executed well enough, obviously, to score enough goals to put us in a good spot. And I liked parts of our game and other parts that we want to make sure we can continue to grow on for sure.
What do you think of Rasmus getting his first goal and have the poise that he's shown in the second recall here?
I'm pumped for him to score the goal. It was a big goal for us at that point in the game as well. But yeah, I'm not surprised by the poise. I've come to expect that from him. I think we all have. And he showed that through training camp and through his first recall as well, I think. So, he's filled in really nicely there for us, and he fits in well too with just how we want to play. Like, he puts the puck into our forwards' hands very well and keeps the offense moving.
Another good sign, the farm team sends another guy up that we're able to plug in right away.
Jake Muzzin said he felt like he's one of them now.
the guys were giving him a little crap for that after the game, saying it was a great recall. I think he got the ball after the game here. So it's good. I talked to Muzz about that situation. He just felt there was a good chance for him to kind of knock the rust off, and like you inevitably have to do, it just makes a little more sense to get it done there rather than here. So today's another step in that process for him, and we got him a lot of minutes again, and he'll just continue to get better the more comfortable he gets.
How big was the Spezza goal after Kapanen went out? Your move obviously had to move some lines around, and how is Kapanen?
Yeah, that was a great goal by Spezza, the tail end of that power play there. And I mean, he's done a real nice job for us on the power play, but that's just right coming out of the power play. He gets it in a good spot. Halsey did a really good job of putting the puck to him in a good area there, and he made good on it. So that was great. But yeah, we had to move things around a little bit, which kind of disrupted our flow a little bit, I thought, especially to start the second period without Cappy. Not that that hurt us there, but we're not sure exactly how he is. Clearly wasn't good enough to come back. I was told the x-ray was negative, but we're just going to have to see how it feels in the morning.
Sheldon, what happened to him? We didn't see anything noticeable in the game that forced him to leave.
Yeah, from what I was told and from kind of what I saw, is he just went to finish a check and kind of missed the check and made some contact with the glass. I think that was kind of it. So it was a little bit of a freak type of thing.
All right, there you have it. Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs. So we thought we'd get a bit of more of an update from the Kasperi Kapanen standpoint, but doesn't sound at this point just an arm injury. And again, another injury for this Maple Leafs team.
Yeah, and Chris Johnson will join us later, huh? We heard him asking that question.
Yeah.
It just was an innocuous, innocent-looking play, but negative x-ray, but we'll see what gives. It's gone with the territory for the Maple Leafs this year.
Yeah, just the injuries. They got two guys back, another one down here in Kasperi Kapanen, but a 5-2 win still to come here on Leafs Nation. Post-game, the aforementioned Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada will go inside the locker room, and again, we'll tee you up for the next couple of games of Maple Leafs action. So vital as we inch closer and closer to the February 24th NHL trade deadline. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, and brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Back on track, it's Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan after a 5-2 win in Nashville. A much-needed 5-2 win at that for the Maple Leafs back after the bye week and the All-Star break. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Let's go down now to Bridgestone and Nashville and break this down further with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca. And Hockey Night in Canada. CJ, thanks so much for hopping on here. I'm sure you've been in that building a variety of times. Is that as quiet as you've heard it in your career?
I would say so. I was certainly here for their cup run. That's something different. But even in general, when you come down here, there's a great vibe around this team. I think they've really built up a cool thing. But you get the feeling that just one of these years where it's not going the Predators' way. I think reality's setting in to a certain degree about the realistic nature of how tough it's going to be for them to get back in the playoffs for what I believe would be a sixth straight season. So some of the enthusiasm is down. And but there were a number of Leafs fans, as we come to expect, wherever the Leafs play. But a lot of folks did seem to make the trip down here, and I'm sure they enjoyed what they saw.
Yeah, you're right. The Predators now 3-4-0 in seven games under John Hines. You do forget the coaching change made behind the bench you think would spark them. Hasn't. The Maple Leafs, a different story, CJ. As you know, 17-7-3 under Sheldon Keefe. I thought this team really bared down tonight. Frederik Andersen was a big story for me. How'd you feel about this win?
Yeah, and, I didn't know how Freddie was going to be early. He let us in that goal on the 3-on-1 to Granlund. And then, the Arvidsson had a chance on the rush that kind of stopped it, but it went through him and it looked a little uncertain, but in the second period he was great, and I'm sure it helped that Toronto took back possession for a good chunk of that middle period. They scored a couple goals and got him a lead, but he makes a huge pad save on Kyle Turris, and then I just thought really built some confidence throughout the night, and that's key. I mean, I know there's been a lot of concern about Freddie just because it's been a tough past 3 weeks or so leading into the All-Star break, but to me I see someone who's consistently been an above-average goaltender over the course of a season, and I fully expect him to rip off a 10 or 12 game stretch where he's at 930 save percentage or something like that, a dominant stretch, and he'll be feeling good leaving the building here. I think with how he's asserted himself coming out of the break, and I think the team should feel good. This was a big game for them, given how things ended prior to the All-Star break, and Dallas won't be an easy game on Wednesday. So I think getting back and establishing, getting some points in the bank and feeling good about themselves was an important step here for Toronto.
Yeah, there's all kinds of positives to talk about tonight. One is, two of the maybe more on guys who, as I say, have been a little off their oats the last 7-8 games, Pekka Rinne and Freddie Anderson. And certainly Freddie was back in form. Pekka Rinne, maybe not so much. But the other one is the pointed comments that Sheldon Keefe chose to leave them with before the break to make a point about being an immature team in those games against Chicago and Florida. Well, obviously the team was very mature tonight, but how was that received by the guys? How did, I don't know if you'd be able to chat with any of them, but how was it interpreted by the team?
Well, I think that they took the message to heart, frankly. And you know, they knew it wasn't good. I mean, they had two dud performances inside the last week before the All-Star break, counting the game down in Florida on the Sunday. And then, the Chicago game on Hockey Night on Saturday night. So, you know, I think that everyone understood how critical the stretch is now, and I don't think anyone had any issue with it. I mean, Sheldon's got a good relationship with a lot of these players. He's got years in the bank with a number of them, you know, due to their time in the American Hockey League, and I think he's just a straight shooter. I think they like their coach, and I don't see any issue with him being honest like that when they're not performing up to expectation. And you know, it was key, and you know, this was. There was some trust given back, I guess, with the way things went. So, you know, it's probably in the past. I think that's what they're hoping. I mean, I know that when they came back yesterday, part of the message that Sheldon gave the players was, okay, we could talk about the 6 games before the break where we weren't too good, but let's look at the 26 games that we've had since, you know, the coaching change was made in November and all the good things that have happened in that point in time. And so, you know, he gave them a bit of stick, I guess, before the All-Star break, but came back with a positive message and he got a positive response from his group.
Yeah, and certainly I think, you know, there's been way more good than bad under Sheldon Keefe here. And, you know, time is of the essence, as we all know, 32 games remaining in this season. In your estimation, CJ, like, what do you think gets the job done for this Maple Leafs team to make the playoffs in terms of points? Like, are we looking at upper 90s? You have to get into to the three digits?
Yeah, I think south of three digits, but yeah. Upper 90s. I mean, They're not going to feel good unless they get 98, 99, 100 or above, I think. I mean, it's possible something like 96 slips in, and, you know, it just depends, you know, how things go down the stretch. But typically the teams that are around the playoffs finish on a hotter run than their point projection. I mean, I think Toronto has to understand that it's going to be a fight probably right into that last week of the season, one way or another, for them to try to get in. I still think that they're in pretty good spot to get in. I mean, we're talking about an awfully talented team. I know, we watch it up close sometimes, and it's easy to be hypercritical of certain aspects of the game or certain players' play. But, you know, the Leafs really should be a playoff team, and they're in position to do that. But it's going to take a really strong finish to the season to get the job done, just with the way things have gone here. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting stretch. I like what Rasmus Sandin brought to the table. I know we didn't talk about him in this game, but, you know, I think he'll be an important part of what they do, you know, moving forward. And obviously, we'll wait and see if there's any movement at the deadline that might help, you know, with the push over the final 30-plus games.
Here's the fun Stevie Fallon stats. So Rasmus Sandin is the first Leaf teenage rookie defenseman to score a game-winning goal for the Leafs, obviously, since Freddie Bohmestruk. I was there January 13th, wow. 1982, one day before he turned 20, all those years ago. So, I mean, that's a neat, quirky one for Rasmus Sandin. I just liked his vision and how he played. And when we saw this in preseason, he made the team based on merit. I didn't disagree with him getting some more seasoning with the Marlies. The World Junior experience was certainly excellent. But with Morgan Rielly hurt in that, I mean, I really like what I saw tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to like it. And it's not just, you know, he was opportunistic on his goal, but he made that great pass to Nylander on the Toronto's opening goal. But, you know, I see just an overall confidence in his play that is encouraging. And this is a young guy. There's not a lot of teenage defensemen that play regular minutes in the NHL. Only the special few do it. And, you know, he's just jumped in and looks to me, honestly, like he could warrant more of a role than the one he's had so far. I could see a case for playing him more minutes than what he's been getting. And, you know, maybe he'll get that opportunity now because he's probably got at least 6 weeks here. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? At least I've had so many injuries. You make plans, and then God laughs, and you got to make more different plans. But, you know, I think he's going to get a stretch of games over 6-7 weeks to really establish himself as an NHL player. And he's already starting from a pretty high bar here with 6 points in his first 10 games, no cheap points in there either. I mean, plays that he's made to set up the goals on his five assists, you know, dancing the line, just looks like an NHLer to me. And that's all I see when I look at him. And he's going to be feeling extra good tonight because not only did he get his first goal, not only was it the game winner, but Jake Muzzin said he had some money on the board.
Oh, wow.
His return to the lineup. So, wow. So Rasmus cashed a, you know, claimed a bit of money there tonight in addition to all the other good things that happened.
Yeah, I like the poise he plays with as well. And I think you nailed it bang on that he deserves a spot in this lineup right now, regardless of what's going on in the back end. CJ, excellent job. Thanks so much. And we'll talk from Dallas on Wednesday night, okay?
Right. I'm not big on predictions, but here's a prediction. I bet when Morgan Riley's healthy and, you know, he's coming back to the lineup, we're going to be debating whether Sandin can be taken out. I think he's going to be that good here over this stretch, and he's going to give management and coaching staff a really good problem to have and a really difficult choice to make.
It's a really good development.
Okay, here I got the Chris Johnson predictions. That's years ago. He told me to buy Briex. Okay, and let's just keep moving down. No, this one.
Hey,
I remember
when you were running Nazem Kadri out of town for about three seasons, and I defended him.
I think that's
not all bad predictions.
I think that's a little inaccurate characterization. I think there's a lot of truth to it about, yeah, we actually had good debates about it, but, you know, really showed the toxic environment and how it changed and how guys like Kadri and others and good guys like Bozak and JVR thrived when it got better. And that's something Brendan Shanahan and company did in a big way. So, yes, your point well taken. I'll give you that one.
I'm just goofing with you, Gordon. We've been doing this for too long.
I don't. That's
thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, CJ.
Okay.
See you, bud.
See ya. There you go. There's Chris Johnson. I would argue Nas played himself out of town, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, this is before. These are the daily
writing
ones.
Writing was on the wall for Nazem Kadri.
This is well before. Before about stuff. Anyway.
He was on the trade market for a year and a half.
Oh,
did I just say that? But yeah, he's been pretty decent. Like, all in all, I mean, you look back at that deal, you can banter all you want about it, but we're in the now for this Maple Leafs team. And many thanks again to Chris Johnson for hopping on here. A 5-2 win here for Toronto on the road after the bye week, after the All-Star break. We were looking for a response. I think all in all, we got it. Certainly the way this game started, and we'll hear from Freddie Anderson in mere moments. I think it really stepped up, certainly in a battle of two goaltenders, Gord, that are known going into this season, you know, stretches of this season. Upper echelon type netminders in this league have not played up to snuff so far. But Freddie Anderson, after surrendering that first goal, the quick response, you're like, here we go again. But I thought he bared down, stepped up, and you need this from an all-star type netminder the way they got it.
Yeah, you do. Maybe going to the all-star game was the best thing. Some people kind of laughed about it, kind of said, why is he going to the all-star game? Well, you know, he got picked.
Makes you feel like a star, which you are.
Who knows what? Yeah. You know, maybe it was the right kind of tonic, just a fun time getting away.
Could have been the tequila you
drank
there.
And he probably got on the ice a bit more than other guys that are away somewhere else. Well, they would have been away at some place. Was he one of the guys? He was one of the guys golfing at Augusta.
I believe so.
Yeah, he was one of the guys golfing at Augusta, which would be pretty cool.
They don't go to bed at 10 o'clock at All-Star Weekend. I can tell you that as well.
They do at Augusta.
Having been to All-Star a couple times?
Well, they
they ain't going to bed at 10.
Well, the other part is to talk about Nazem Kadri, but to correlate it to all the exciting trade talk, which, who knows? I mean, the trade deadline, there never really are.
Where do you sit on the deadline, by the way? Because you look at the names this year, and I would argue in terms of rentals, and we know Kyle Dubas and company are not really big fans of rentals. There's not really a guy out there who's pushing the pendulum for me. I think the only thing that could make sense, and maybe you agree or disagree, if you go down that Rangers conversation again and you make a bigger deal involving Chris Kreider and Alexander Georgiev, if you can do it.
Well, Georgiev is not a number two goaltender either. And they're trying to get number one goaltender cachet back for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun part. I mean, that's the fun part when you roll up your sleeves.
Is.
It only takes one of the other 30 general managers to be in sync to your way of thinking to try to do something. But as we mentioned Kadri, that trade, one of the big appeals was the money and the term he had. And with Kapanen, Janssen, you know, guys like that, Kerfoot, and their names that come up, and they're kind of saying, well, that's an attractive part they had, too. They kind of fit in the cap in the summer. I thought that was some of Kyle Dubas's best negotiating because there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. And they agreed. They gave up. They bought into some term and, you know, came at relatively reasonable numbers. So that's kind of made them attractive for the Leafs. So for a hired gun, it's questionable trading one of those kind of guys. Now, maybe you get a defenseman back with some term. Or, you know, or some a different component back, that there's a trade that way to do a more of a traditional hockey trade versus the hired gun who says adios in the summer.
I would contemplate giving Marincin another extension on top of the 1 year he got. But
actually, they can't now. They got to wait till January 1st.
I know, Gord.
I know, in case you're negotiating for him.
No, trust me, I'm not. But as a former National Hockey League general manager like yourself, would you ever contemplate taking somebody who is injured? Because I asked this question. I mean, the writing is on the wall. I'm sure Kasperi Kapanen goes to the rink every day and, you know, he knows math well enough to know if this team is going to get a defenseman, it's either him or Andreas Janssen or Alex Kerfoot that are leaving. I'm sorry to say, but that is the utter reality of what's going on here in Toronto. Kapanen makes a lot of sense for a variety of reasons. If you're an opposition GM, would you contemplate trading for a guy who's injured? Because you got to guess it's probably going to be a team on the outside that's not making the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Brian Burke took Phil Kessel when he was injured.
You're right.
And he got 10 shots on goal his first game he played.
About, fired up.
6 weeks into the season.
Had a hot dog, too. No,
so, yes. And especially if you're talking, you'd be trading him to a team that's likely not going to be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think that is something that wouldn't be too problematic if that kind of deal was there.
Because we do think that, you know, the likelihood is more so that the Maple Leafs will try to get a defenseman, a top four guy with term, as opposed to the rental market. So remains to be seen. And again, we get closer. We get into the month of February, February 24th, the NHL trade deadline. It's a fun topic of conversation, especially in these parts, because this Maple Leafs team, we do feel, I think we can both concur, that they're on the precipice of something. They got to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but if they do get there, you just never know, and it's been a while.
Well, the other part is they saw last year, like the Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson, they played against a team that did some good massaging in the Boston Bruins. So, you know, so they're, I'm not saying you dismiss that outright, because I'm still looking at deals like that. I'm just saying, to me, those are the only kind of deals that still will be made. I do not think Kyle Dubas will be able to make a good old hockey trade. Maybe later around the draft before July 1st when those can be made, and he made some last year. It could be, but I just think that kind of thing about, okay, who is the Charlie Coyle? Who is the Marcus Johansson? You know, who is the guy they're able to add for the push and hopefully through the playoffs?
I would be refreshing my phone if I'm just a fan, because I think more likely than not they make the trade sooner rather than later. If they do something, you look at Jake Muzzin last year, and again, I always seem to talk about this, whatever platform I've been working for the last couple of years. I hate deadline day. I think it's overrated. I know Sportsnet's got it, and we have a lot of fun doing it, but very seldom do you see a guy who's traded on deadline day actually do something substantial in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A big name, right? Like, you're talking about these Jeff Carters of the world who could be dealt. Jason Zucker's name's always out there. Poor guy, just can't get any slack with Minnesota.
But he's got term. He's got serious term.
But guys like that, it takes them a while. I think you have to humanize the situation. It takes guys a while. So I think, you know, Jim Rutherford's a perfect example in Pittsburgh. He likes picking his guys up in October, or not even October, like November. He wants to give them as much time as possible to get acclimated to their new surroundings. I think that's vital.
Look at the team they played tonight. Wayne Simmonds didn't fit in Nashville anywhere.
Exactly. Prime example from last year's deadline, right?
And that's not a slight against Wayne Simmonds. And that goes back to why Matt Sundin got vilified by way too many people here when he was just exercising his negotiated right of a no-trade clause. But he articulated his theory about that, and his buddy Peter Forsberg, who, by the way, it was Nashville he went to as well.
I try to forget that from my brain.
I know it was a trade deadline pickup and didn't work out. So,
yeah, faux pas.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the other thing that complicates matters a little bit. And trade deadline day, I think everyone does accept. It's cooled. It's cooled down a lot. People's expectation. It's cooled down a ton.
I still get fired up. I still watch it. We bring great coverage here at Sportsnet again, so don't miss it this time around. But
the best part is it's over. Like, when the deadline comes, that's your team.
It's like the stretch drive, you know?
No, it's great. Yeah, you close the door. There's no more trade talk from incessant trade talk. And for teams, that gets a distraction away. For fans, it even does. Okay.
Players, families.
Yeah, okay, let's just talk about the playoffs now and all these other things that are going on. So that's another component I do like about trade deadline day.
Injected in our veins. And speaking of veins, Freddie Anderson, cold-blooded in this one. He really, really stepped up. 33 saves here. 9-2-0 in 11 career games against the Nashville Predators. We hear now from the number one netminder of the Maple Leafs.
What you see from the club in the second period to tighten things down after a fairly wide open first period?
We definitely quieted down the game a little bit, and we got the lead obviously after the first, and I thought we did a good job not forcing too much, just trying to slow things down and making sure we didn't turn the puck over as much and at crucial spots, and I thought we played really smart.
When you have leads like that, sometimes the third period can be a bit chaotic with the other team pressing and pressing. How do you keep your head about doing those moments?
Again, good habits, I think, it's most importantly. So, but that we did a good job. So.
And what have you seen of Rasmus in the second recall here, and the poise he has with the puck and the ability to clear the zone, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing confidence, especially offensively. He looks really good and made some plays on the blue line. It's just great to keep plays alive, and I think that's huge for us.
Can you recall about the save on Tursley there on the power play there he came across?
Yeah, I saw, I forget who it was, on the left side, just kind of loading up for a pass and just trying to get a push over, try to get cover as much as possible. And I knew there's obviously a righty on the other side for 1T, and just try to get over there as much as possible. Good thing he didn't get it up or anything like that. So, did a good job trying to clear it afterwards and draw the penalty.
How big is this for everyone to start the post break on a good note like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I think we had some good talks and stuff, trying to get better at certain things. And like everyone in this time of year, we want to keep pushing and getting better. So, it's good first step.
How was the All-Star break for you?
That's great.
What are you seeing from Jason Spezza in terms of...
That's good.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah. Jason's ability to snap a puck. You see it in practice all the time. I know he's getting older, but that shot ability just doesn't seem to change.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a really good shot. Great hands. He's an extremely smart player, so I just want to shoot it. And it doesn't... it seems tough for goalies to really read where he's going to go. He can go low and high and kind of change it the last second anyway.
Always even keel is Frederik Andersen.
You know what? You know what he'd be great? If he's out of hockey, he would be a great 911 dispatcher.
I know.
Really, that would be the kind of guy.
Fred monotone. He can win 6-2 or lose 6-0.
You like it. The unflappable. And how about, again, so Dallas goaltender tried to score in the empty net, and it got blocked at the blue line.
It's a revenge game for Ben Bishop.
But led to the Tampa Bay Lightning tying goal. And again, we go back. The Winnipeg Jets iced the puck, and the Leafs got the faceoff and scored and tied it. Montreal Canadiens iced the puck. Vegas tied in regulation time. I don't get it.
But analytics scored.
Apparently analytics says you're supposed to do it, but my small sample size.
Why does Arizona always miss the
playoffs, couple of
then?
Weeks?
Why is Toronto on the outside looking in? I got a lot of questions about that.
Just by
anyways, Rasmus Sandin, I know his numbers are good. They were solid tonight. His first NHL goal. So we got to hear from the rookie of the Maple Leafs 10th game of the season, by the way, tonight.
Remember that for the rest of my life for sure.
How did it break down? I mean, I saw Kerfoot going across, creating some interference for you. But as the play slowed down in your mind and you saw the shot you had, how did you see it at least initializing?
I was just, I was standing a little bit behind the play, and then like, the puck just popped out. And I saw it the last second. He just was covering kind of the low ice. He was leaning forwards a little bit to the goalie, so I just tried to put it high, and luckily it went in.
You dream of a Sully as to how you're going to go about it. Others have. How did yours work out?
I think I've had a lot of dreams on how I would have sullied. I think I didn't do anything today except for just screaming. So it was a great feeling.
What did you see in that, opening goal when you had that long
flip
pass to
Willie? I just got it, and Willie was just, I saw him looking back, so I just try to put it out, and I was always in front of the net, so I just had to make a play pretty quick there. So it was great that it worked out.
How different a player are you from the one that started this year? How have you grown in confidence, physicality, that kind of thing?
I think just more complete, I feel like, now, especially with that confidence. And I know every guy, all the guys up in the team, and how the team works and all that, so, and also the league. So a lot different like that, and then just working on small details in my game, working with video and also in the gym. So I felt prepared when I got called up this time.
How much confidence did you get from
A bit, I feel like. It was a great tournament for me and for the team. So it was a lot of fun going for that tournament. And coming back, I was very excited to just get back and get going again. And obviously very exciting getting the call up too.
Room's open.
Is there any challenge in the layoff, 8 or 9 days, of course, between games?
Challenge. I think it was a well-needed rest for everyone. It's been a tight schedule, so getting some rest on the ice there a little bit to feel the ice, not lose it too much. So that happened as well. So it was great to get the win first game back here.
All right, there's Rasmus Sandin. That's going to feel good and maybe getting some confidence from the World Junior as we wrap up here, Gord. A 5-2 win in Nashville, and the show now moves on to Dallas American Airlines Center Wednesday night.
Yeah, Sandin, one goal, one assist, was plus two, three shots on net, 15 minutes, 43 seconds. That's the key to me because they're going to need that help on D without Morgan Riley. Good to have Jake Muzzin back. Hey, guys, the immature team, you grew up over the 8 or 9 days. And, yeah, keep the momentum going in Dallas, then home against Ottawa, and a big home game next Monday against the Florida Panthers. Hey, fasten your seatbelts, Leafs Nation. It's going to be a busy regular season, and we'll have it for you all 82 games.
Can't believe we're jumping in one more into the month of February. Then it gets real for sure, and very quickly at that. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Vic Pilati, and Kyle Norris, and, of course, the one and only, the professional one himself, Gord Stellick. Love the attire tonight. Always brings it.
That's it. Professional broadcaster.
There you go. We'll talk on Wednesday night for Leafs Nation pregame. Take care, everybody. Leafs win 5-2 in Nashville.